Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jeffrey.
Billy Goat.
Man.
The Billy Goat when it comes to so many different things, man, you know, has done so much as far as culture, sports, business. You know, just an iconic person all the way around. So he purchased the Charlotte Bobcats.
Yes.
At the time, they were called the Charlotte Bobcats.
2010.
In 2010.
Yep.
And they were called the Charlotte Bobcats because Rob Johnson, Bob Johnson, owner, former owner of BT, who shot to Tyler Perry, he just purchased BT.
That's amazing.
He named the team, and then they renamed it to the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, they named it because after him.
That's right. What I'm saying. His name is Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
So
Johnson.
He named the Bobcats, and then you know they bought it. They changed it to the Charlotte Hornets.
Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, yeah.
And
which was an existing franchise in New Orleans, but originally started in Charlotte. Yep.
And it hasn't really worked out. They haven't really been too good at all. They had a few good years, but Kemba was there.
Kemba, the early years with Gerald Wallace, Steven Jackson, they made the playoffs, but it's been downhill.
It's a great investment for him, though.
Yeah. But so he bought the team for $180 and sold it sold for $3 billion.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't get all $3 billion because he wasn't the only owner in it. But he was majority owner. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna walk away with a nice paycheck.
Yeah. So just really quick, so people understand that he bought 65% majority stake from Bob Johnson in 2010. Right. So that was the $180 million investment. Now the reports are saying that it sold for $3 billion.
Yeah.
So right, he doesn't get $3 billion. Right. He owned 65% of that. But then in 2019, he also sold shares of it.
Yeah.
So let's say it got diluted down to 60%. Even with this sale, he's still going to be a minority owner.
It's
not a.
Yeah,
he just gave up his majority stake. So let's say he sold 50% of it. Let's say he kept a 10% stake. 10%. So that means he let go of 40% of his ownership. 40% of $3 billion is still 1.2.
That's a hell of a win.
That's 1.2.
For a team like we were talking about, like not in a major city. And to get this kind of return in a few years, I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but Gabe, kudos to him. Plotkin, he's a huge venture capital guy. But also, like, J. Cole ends up being a minority owner.
That's a dope part of
and
it, too.
And I was like, this is amazing.
That's a dope part.
Congrats to him.
A North Carolina guy. But that's a $180 million investment in 2010 is now worth $1.2 billion in 2023.
The power of long-term holding. The only thing I thought is, like, the longer you hold any asset class, the higher the yield is going to be, especially when you factor in inflation. Like, imagine if you would have owned part of the Lakers, what the exit would have been.
But then also, we live in a world where everything goes up. Mm-hmm. So you have a one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan selling for $1.3 million.
Crazy.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, buy real estate is going to go up. Buy good stocks is going to go up.
Yep.
Buy a sports franchise is going to
go up.
Buy something that has value and is going to go up. And, you know, some things go up higher than others. But that's just, you know, in the simplest sixth grade explanation.
Absolutely.
Buy good investments over the course of time, hold them, and you will be able to sell at a profit.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between the investment and the performance of the team. Right, because people look like they've never been good. Were people going to the games?
But
were people watching the NBA?
Yeah.
Were the TV rights deals going up during that time? Right. So when they talk about profit sharing, that goes to all the teams, right? Yeah. And we're talking about licensing deals. Anytime, you know, Jordan's involved with something, I mean, his name alone is strong.
But it brings value.
This is one of those times where it's like, wow.
But then also, this goes back to the real estate situation where your neighborhood is more important than the actual house a lot of times. Mm. Because like you can have the best house, but if it's in a bad neighborhood, the appreciation is not going to be that much. You can have a decent home and never really do anything to it. But if it's in a great neighborhood, then that house is just valuable just because. Like the worst home in Beverly Hills costs more than the best home in a middle-class neighborhood, even if it's not even a good home because where it's at. Mm-hmm. Somebody will just tear it down just for the land.
That's true.
So it's like the same thing with the NBA. Like, it doesn't matter. NBA, NFL, whatever.
Rising title lifts up.
Yeah, just because you're in a league that has such value and is going up over the course of time, you can have the worst team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your team is still valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's why the Knicks are the number two most valuable team. They haven't
Which
won.
Which is insane to me.
Because where are they located? Where do they play?
Yeah.
They play in the middle of Manhattan. They play in New York City. I mean, it's primarily, and, you know, Madison Square Garden. He owns Madison Square Garden.
What would he get for it?
I mean, if Charlotte sold for $3 billion, and I think the number one evaluated team right now is Golden State, and that's because of the recent history of winning is at, like, I think $7 billion or six, maybe $6 billion. I mean, if they ever... For New York, for the Knicks, I'm thinking we're going double digits. I think we're going double. It's got to be over 10.
Today?
Yeah, over 10.
Wow.
For a sale.
Okay.
The Suns sold last season for $4 billion.
That's a good point.
So,
right, Lakers, you put a couple franchises in there. Lakers would be up there. Knicks, Celtics, maybe. Definitely the Lakers and the Knicks, I think, double-digit billion valuation.
And the reason why we're talking about this is really important to know the evaluation of everything. Like, first time I went to F1, I've been watching the races.
Yeah. Oof.
There's some money in those. I'm like, wait, the car costs how much? And the pit crew, certain amount of millions. Like, I was playing Hitman with Xander, like, last year. That was the first time I ever knew about F1.
Yeah.
So to then go and see the business behind it, like, once you understand the valuations of these teams now, they're looking to hold for the same 10, 30-year cycle.
It's the reason why you see people fighting to get an NBA team in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's the reason why you see somebody trying to bring a franchise back to Seattle.
Yes.
Like Stan Hankey, who just won a championship with the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. That's great, but that's his NBA team. You know who his NFL team is? The LA Rams, right?
Yeah.
He won a Super Bowl with them.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
A hell of a run.
He just won an NBA championship, right? In Denver. And now he's looking at like what other sports league. He owns the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
They've won a Stanley Cup over the past 10 years. And so he's taking, he's just not looking at it like, wait, I have a franchise in Denver. Let me stay in Denver. He's looking at it like, where's the best place for me to own a franchise? So now his next thing they're saying is like, he's looking to bring football back to San Diego or bring an NBA team to San Diego.
Incredible.
A great sports town that lost the Chargers.
Yeah.
Right. They haven't had a professional basketball team maybe ever. And so they're looking at these cities. Seattle's another city that has had basketball history. How do we get it back? And so now having franchises in different cities and different sports, this is bigger than just like, hey, I'm a fan of the team. No, this is a business transaction.
Yeah, huge business behind that. And these same people that are investing and owning these teams, homework assignment number two, go do some research on them to see what their investment philosophy is. Because if he was able to win titles in multiple sports, there's a philosophy that he has on ownership and turning the team around. Please go study that to help you in your investment journey so you can print more gains in the market.
But James Dolan, he's probably one of the best in business that we've ever seen because the Knicks, the Rangers, but Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, absolutely. He owns Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can say what you want about him, but...
My commentary is only the Knicks. Not
no, I'm just saying. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't like James Dolan.
It's true.
But I'm just saying, Madison Square Garden, can you even put a price tag on that? The world's most famous arena.
It's trendy, right?
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah, it's trendy.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, it is.
But I'm just saying, like, if you just had, like, you know, it's like Madison Square Garden, such an iconic venue. Like,
he's making money when the Knicks don't play, and he's making money when the Rangers don't play.
Yeah.
Because when they're not playing, there's a concert in there.
I couldn't get into that Hairstyles concert to save my life.
He's the CEO of MSG.
Yeah.
He's the owner of the Knicks, the owner of the Rangers.
Yeah.
I mean, he could do nothing else for the rest of his life and just be super good just off of that alone. That one building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he got everything.
Even inside of that building, that structure, you got Penn Station.
That's so now true.
That translates into another vertical, right? It's a, like you said, it's publicly traded. I don't even think people really know that, but it's publicly traded. So he's going to make money regardless, which is kind of why people detest him because it's like, he doesn't, if they win or not,
it doesn't
don't
really
matter.
Yeah, like, it really doesn't matter.
For Knicks fans, I know it sucks. And shout out to all the Knicks fans, but he's going to make money regardless.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
backdrop.
Backdrop. A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.